Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, February the 8th, 2015.
In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow. And many times Satan whispered, there is no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know you are with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the sky. Oh, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the
trial is, he's there to take care of us. We serve a living God, a risen Savior. Sing that with me.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. And He talks with me along my stand away. He lives, patient to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Rejoice, 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 O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing.
Thank you, Fred. We'll ask the men to come at this time. So, Dan, will you thank the Lord for the offering, please?
Father, we thank you now for this time. We come together again and just worship you, Lord, and lift your name. This offering, Lord, we just pray you bless it to your use. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Trish. Before the throne of God above. That's a great, great song. Just a few more songs to sing with you tonight. Hopefully familiar to you. Trust and obey, and then a shelter in the time of storm. when we walk with the Lord.
When we walk with the Lord.
Thank you, Fred. So we should pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you would encourage our hearts and strengthen us this night with what we hear, Father, from your word. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. I don't want to forget that I want to get a word from Harry and B. And so if I tend to close things down without, you know, enlisting their help, then you will not let me forget, right? And there's a couple others I'd like to hear from, tonight as well. So we'll know a little bit about how to pray for folks and what's going on, what's happening from that standpoint. This morning, I was talking pretty much about the focal point that the scriptures have, you know, in Bible ministry in this day and time. And the focal point, of course, is the fact that the Bible is final in all matters of faith and practice. You know, we can spit that out pretty easily, and when we spit that thing out and talk about it, somewhere in the midst of all of that, the full implications of that phrase we don't really capture those things. Now, there's a couple scriptures I'd like you to look at, but before I do that, back about almost 20 years ago, there was a book that was written called The Coming Evangelical Crisis. It was put together by John MacArthur and Al Mohler. Of course, at that time, who was Al Mohler? It was put together by John Armstrong, and a variety of others. And in the opening article, it begins to talk, kind of lay the foundation for the whole book. It talks about this whole question. It's Armstrong was doing was reacting to some statements that he had heard along the way. But I'm not going to necessarily go back and read those. He said, historically, evangelical Protestant reformers believed that the scripture was the canon and rule of faith. And then he talks about a variety of them. Said that there was no real question. No real question is the scripture a rule of faith? The real question is it the full, sufficient, clear, authoritative, adequate rule of faith? Now that's kind of a mouthful when you begin to think about that. Is it the full, sufficient, clear, authoritative, adequate rule of faith? Modern evangelicals will agree that it is a rule and even defend its inerrancy and authority on a certain level. What has been missed is that they do not generally treat the scriptures, at least practically, as if it is the sole authoritative rule and practice. Now that is a mouthful when you think about it. He says, from Tertullian and Augustine through Luther and Calvin to Edwards and Warfield, Christianity has built both its theology and practice upon this bedrock principle. The written scriptures are to be our guide for message and method. We go to the scriptures to understand the gospel, but we also go to the scriptures to understand how we evangelize, how we preach, how we help the souls of distressed people, and how we worship the living and true God acceptably. Today we go to many sources to address these and related issues. Thus, the scripture has become for many evangelicals only one of many sources. Historically, the scripture alone has meant at least four things for evangelicals. And these are the things that I thought was worth, just sort of alerting you to these things. First of all, it meant that the scripture is fundamentally necessary. It is fundamentally necessary. When you make that statement, the Bible is final in all matters of faith and practice. It is fundamentally necessary. Why? Because God is holy and people are exceedingly sinful. The blindness and corruption of the human mind makes objective revelation essential. It is necessary because without a self-attesting, objective, final, written revelation, sinful people can pervert the Word of God time and time again. This insight has an important denial contained in it. Humanity is unable to know God apart from the revelation of the Holy Scriptures. So you see why the Bible is such a big deal. And that's why when we think about the efforts that we have to get Bibles to a variety of places and everything. It's great to get missionaries places, and God uses human agency, uses people. But if we got to choose between people and Bibles, we always take Bibles and all. Now, people will eventually follow along, for sure. But that's what Brent and May Lou have dedicated their life to do. And you know, when Brent begins to talk about all the different places that humanly speaking are very limited to get missionaries into Iran and Iraq and with the Kurds and with a variety of people and everything, but to give them a copy of God's Word so that they can read it for themselves. You understand, the Bible is not something that needs defense or explanation. You just give it to them, and the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's going to take that and work in folks' hearts and lives. So it says it is absolutely, fundamentally necessary. Only in the written word is this knowledge revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. Scripture is necessary because it is only here, as Calvin observed, does God talk to the church with authority. And you see, that's a pretty kind of specific thing. Now, this is all in the context of transitions and things. Okay, you put that in that context. And in that context, what are we looking for? We're looking for the Scriptures. We're looking for a commitment to God's Word. That's just the first element, he says there, fundamentally necessary. The second is, and by the way, when you say the Scriptures are fundamentally necessary, Roman Catholics would sign off on that statement. They would sign off and say, well, yeah, the Bible is. And in fact, they might even have a feast or worship it in that sense of the term. It's kind of a bibliolatry kind of thing. But that's not what we understand and what we see. There's a secondary element. Scripture is authoritative. This point is implicit in the previous statement. But he goes on and says, Roman Catholics admitted the first point and even granted this one until Luther insisted that the Bible was absolute authority. The offensive word was sola. It's alone. The Bible alone is the authority. Sinful people would set up their own authority in the church. Only the Word of God can bring it down and exalt Christ in His proper place in the life and practice of the church. And so how does Christ rule and govern His church today? We answer with the Reformers, by and through His Word alone. The Spirit does not lead men and women apart from the Word. You understand that. So there's no extra biblical revelation there. The Word and the Spirit are inseparably joined. That is why preaching took on such an important dimension in the Reformation. And that is why in every great evangelical awakening since the Reformation, the Word preached was fundamentally central. So it's fundamentally necessary. It is absolutely authoritative. Three, the Scripture is sufficient. This point challenged the supplements that medieval theologians sought to bring to the Word. In other words, people come up with all different kinds of things. It's the Bible plus this, you know, that kind of thing. It also challenged the supplements the church brought to the Word as well. Indulgences, for example, because the Holy Spirit is present in the revelation of the Word, any teaching that goes beyond this Word must be rejected, period. Luther once said, this was true, even if it snowed miracles every day. And that's an interesting kind of thing, really, to look at and all. You know, we've spent some time over in the great statement that MacArthur made that I thought was an interesting statement. He made a really neat observation about the time of great transfiguration, and I think Peter and John were there, and it was a great spiritual experience, and they heard the voice of God, it's my beloved son, listen to him, you know. They were talking about putting up tabernacles and so forth and all of those kinds of things. And then when MacArthur was talking about that, he made the observation that when you go to Peter, that incident is looked at, and you would have thought that incredible emotional experience that everybody had, that would have been a focal point that would have marked people. But if you look on further in Peter, what it says is it introduces the fact that we, and the Bible uses this little phrase, we have a more sure word. What is that more sure word? It's the Scriptures. It's not experiences. It's not all of this stuff that happens. I can have great things happen, but those are not the things that are authoritative in my life. What's authoritative in my life is sola scriptura, what the Bible says. So, it's necessary, it's authoritative, it's sufficient. This is just the introduction, by the way, so don't be thinking I'm drawing a line here. It is sufficient, and then the last statement he makes is on the perspicuity. The Reformers believed that in the perspicuity of the Scriptures, and by this they meant that the Word of God was clear and that it could be understood and it was capable of being understood. You know, in some of our evangelical colleges today, the perspicuity of God's Word is challenged, and they've had to go back and they've had to deal with this. And I know of several folks on various boards at schools that have had to go back and try and chase all of these things down and deal with those issues. Well, I said all of that by just way of introduction for 2 Timothy, because I want to get your minds wrapped around what I think is the most focal point that we could have. One of the best things we could do as we're thinking about transitions and leadership and things like that. Now, all of that really kind of comes very clear to me because when I was a boy growing up in, you know, you're probably sick of those stories, but growing up in central Indiana, we had a magnificent ministry called the Cato Tabernacle. And for years and years, they had a great ministry in the city of Indianapolis. And somewhere in the midst of all of that, in spite of their commitment to the fundamentalism and Scriptures and all of those things, that whole ministry just blew away. And when that ministry blows away, you ask yourself, how in the world do those kind of things happen? And somewhere in the midst of the way they were making leadership decisions, they stopped taking the Bible and the Scriptures seriously. This has to be the focal point. This has to be the thing that pushes us above everything else. And so the Scripture that really does that is in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so as you look at this passage of Scripture, you get a very clear picture on the fact that the most important decision along the way any of us can ever make is to believe the Bible and to practice the Bible and to be Bible in all the things that we do. And the first reason we do that is listed very clearly in this verse, because it's God's Word. And the Scripture here, when he talks all inclusively, he was talking about the Old Testament, but we know as time went on, and even within Timothy, 1 Timothy especially, there was an understanding in the sense that God was using Paul to write Scripture. And so, and then of course, over in Peter, you get the same kind of thing where Peter is talking about Paul's writings and these other kinds of things along the way, that it was all part and parcel. But in this particular context, he's talking about the Old Testament, and really, when you look back, it says, it's in talking about Timothy, it said, you must, verse 14, you must continue in the things that you've learned and been assured of, knowing whom you've learned them. And then he says, that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now, I'm telling you, one of the things that drove Mary and I in our family was to make sure that our kids got the Word. And it wasn't just coming to church, but it was memorizing the Scriptures. And we had some patterns in our home and everything, and she did an admirable job of making sure that all those things worked out pretty well. And that is, she would say, you know, the kids would come back and they wanted to do different things. And not amongst them was practicing piano, by the way. You know, that was not one of the things that was high on their list, although that happened until they were all ninth graders. And then, of course, Catherine carried it on into college, you know, playing. The rest of them all picked up instruments along the way. But they wanted to play sports. They wanted to do this. They wanted to do that. They tolerated their homework. You know, all of those kinds of things you have with kids. But while our kids were in Awana, I'm telling you, one of the first things that happened when they got home at night is we said, now, we want to do X number of sections this next year. We want to finish the book. We want to review. We want to do all of those things. And so consequently, that means that you're going to have to pull those things together. Well, I'm telling you, that was not a, you know, sometimes that was not a happy time to really get after those things. But as time would go on, especially when they came to the school, and the first thing that, when we started the school, one of the first things I said when we were talking about Bible is, whatever else we do, let's go through the topical memory system and make sure everybody's got those 50-some verses under their belt. And it's probably more than that. And so they need to have all of these scriptures so they have them in their mind, they're organized, and they understand the significance and all of the value that is there. This past year, the guys that I spend more time with here in the church, every morning there's a group of us that meet to pray and to find out about our latest aches and pains. And Rodney's the only one that doesn't ever talk about aches and pains. Rodney is way too young to be meeting with the likes of Kurt and John Dratnell and Brant Holliday and myself. And the rest of us, we've all got their latest ache and pain, you know, really to talk about, you know, from that standpoint. But this year, always give these guys a gift of one kind or another. And the gift that I gave them this year was a new book by Robert Morgan called 100 Bible Verses That Everybody Ought to Know. And when you go in there, he organizes that thing and sets it up. And there's, you know, the four verses for the beginning and then the Romans Road. And then he goes into all sorts of things. And he's a pastor out in Nashville. And I mean to tell you, he wrote the little book, The Red Sea Rules. And it's just really very fascinating kinds of reading. But we all quibble with all those verses that he talks about. But that's something for all of us really to have. I'm telling you, it's the Word of God that's going to be a core and going to be a focal point and a focus in our life. I remember from our years back in Highland Park when Lester Roloff would come in and they would talk about these druggies and they would talk about these people whose lives, young people whose lives have tore all to pieces. And we said, well, you know, what great psychological plan did Lester Roloff have for him? I'll tell you what his plan was. He had him memorizing the Bible. And there is a healing element within Scripture memory that really helps us get our mind straight. And especially in that sense, it's a matter of obedience along the way. So as I look at this text, he says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you know that's that's one Greek word that puts most of that together, and it's the word God breathed. God exhaled the Word of God from that standpoint. And so that's a terrific kind of thing to begin to see as we look at the Scriptures. This is what is final. This is what is going to abide. And then secondly, so it's not only the fact that it's God's Word, but secondly, the Bible makes a difference or can make a difference. So you look at what it says. He says it's profitable. In other words, it's going to be something that is going to have a dividend attached to it. And it says for four specific reasons. For our teaching, for conviction, reproof, for correction, setting us on a right course, and ultimately for instruction or for training. kind of moving us back into a path of righteousness. That's what God's word can do for us in that sense of the term. Those are all pretty helpful things, really, to get a hold of and everything. Bible memory, taking time to know and to understand God's word, that is a big deal. That is an area that we really need. Now, I'm looking at a lot of people that you probably memorized oodles and gobs of verses all through the years. But somewhere as we get a little older, we have a tendency to back off, don't we? Don't we? Okay, so what do we need to do? We need to get back at it. We need to be having that kind of a habit. One of the guys I work with, that I meet with, has had very limited background spiritually, and so when he agreed to meet with me, I said, well, I've got something for you that you will really enjoy. And he said, well, what is that? And I said, here is the topical memory system. And I said, we're going to do two verses a week when we meet, and then after we get a whole section, we'll review those verses and work our way through those things. And he began to tell me, as he memorized God's word, how many times in witnessing and talking to people over the last week he had opportunities to use the Bible. Well, I'm telling you, when you put God's word in your head and your heart along the way, then the Lord's going to give you opportunities to use his word, isn't he? I mean, you're going to have those opportunities. That's going to be a neat deal along the way to be able to use that with people. And he was constantly amazed. People would ask him questions, and he would say, well, you know, I've been working on this verse. Let me tell you about this verse. And, you know, astounds his friends. Really? How did you see that? And he said, just working and on these things. You know, we memorize all different kinds of things. We invest in all different kinds of situations. We need to invest in God's word. And then the final thing he says, so it's because of God's, the Bible's God's word, and it can make a difference. And the Bible contains everything you're ever going to need to live and do things right spiritually. And when I have people memorize, most of the time when you memorize scripture, in a lot of these plans, you always have 3:16 is really, that's a verse that people memorize and they get a hold of. But I don't think you can memorize 3:16 without doing verse 17 as well, because it says that the man of God should be complete, absolutely equipped for every good work. And that's really where what God is telling us about what we need. That's what I get from the scriptures. I have all the things I need to be able to make the best possible decisions to do the things that God wants me to do. So, the Bible is indeed final in all matters of faith and practice. And that means it's absolutely sufficient. That means it is absolutely authoritative. That means it's complete. It's all that I need. And it tells me that it is practical, that it is not in some fashion just something that, you know, I memorize it and it has no value to my life. The scripture does have value. Well, all right, that's that.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.